Oh, hello, Internet. Are we recording?
Yes.
You said we're live, but you didn't say we're recording.
Yes, we are.
I don't know if I believe you.
It is.
It could be wrong. It could be a lie.
Nope.
I can trust you. You're not like the others.
I don't know about that.
All right. Welcome to the Squirrel Port. Alan is just like the others.
I might be. I might not be.
Well, you're a Marine that doesn't have any tattoos and doesn't have any stickers on the back of his car.
That's correct. I don't.
That's a little odd. It is not typical Devil Dog fashion.
I don't know. I think when I was in, they were really starting to downplay the tattoo thing.
Well, it's never too late, Alan.
Well, I'm not saying I don't have anything against them. I've just never seen one. I haven't seen one yet that I wanted to apply to myself.
I see.
I don't have anything against them in theory.
Not even like the shoulder patch on your shoulder? That'd be cool.
No. Nope.
Or you could get Martin Riggs' special, quote-unquote, Special Forces tattoo. But yeah, obviously, yeah. Only Special Forces people could get.
Yeah, right.
Maybe Alan just doesn't have tattoos that are visible to you.
That may
weird.
Be. I may have one that says, "Welcome to Jamaica, have a good day."
Maybe Alan has a tramp stamp.
I might. I might have the squirrel of corn in a risque spot.
Yeah, but where would you hide that from me? information to all of the Squirrel Report listeners, all the members of the Squirrel Report and former members of the Squirrel Report, get down.
Oh, no.
That's what Brita said when we did it.
Well, Weird but has you, seen me in a bikini.
I have.
Yeah.
And I got to hold your leg while you're in the bikini.
I know.
It sat on my lap while I played with Alan's 1.0 iPad that was still brand spanking new technology.
Yep. Oh, that's like ancient history now.
I know. Totally.
It's been some years.
Where was that? North Carolina?
Yes.
Yes, it was actually.
Yeah. One of those.
Charlotte.
And Brita, you look mighty good in that bikini.
Yeah, you're sweet. Thanks.
Hi, squirrels.
Hi. Oh, she's logging into the chat. I was feeling all alone in here, and then I realized I'm not in the chat. Okay.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. I know. I'm working on it.
Because you won't be able to listen to all the degenerates that listen to this show. Hello, degenerates.
I need more internets. This is crazy.
Yes.
More internets?
More internets.
More
stronger,
power.
Harder, more power internets.
What she
said. Hooray for internets.
Well, I tell you what, let's get started.
Okay.
Because it is Thursday, March 6, 2014. This is the Squirrel Report, episode 94.
Oh my gosh.
94.
What? And I gotta say right off the bat, what the fuck, Redis? Redis just posted an image of the United States where every state is listed as Mass and every state capital is in its appropriate place but listed as Boston.
No.
I just wanna know what inside joke this is making humor to.
That's just wrong.
It sure is.
That's very wrong. Hey, it's JM. She's calling out. She's calling out people. So anyway, our call-in topic, and yes, we have a call-in topic. What would you do if you were in Connecticut? Not just in Connecticut. What if you were one of those people, those God love you idiots that tried to register your evil black rifle?
You're talking to me, aren't you, Alan?
And didn't make the cutoff deadline. So you're in the worst of both worlds. You told the government you had one, but you didn't get it registered in time. So now, you know, you probably got some kind of letter.
You're talking to me, aren't you, Alan?
And you're sitting there going, what do I do? What do you do? That's our call-in topic. What do you do?
Yeah. Not that any of our people would register.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But there has to be some sort of list even before you register, right?
Well, actually, I'm not a Connecticut resident, and I don't know anything about it, so I'm just completely talking out of my ass here. But I'm pretty sure I read that Connecticut has some kind of bullshit state thing, like a form or something you fill out at the same time you do your BATF form or something, you know, that gets sent somewhere. So, you know, I think they have some idea. Now, all they know is that you bought it. I don't think they like track it or anything like that post sale. So, I mean, if you can, you know, if you want to play the game with, you know, oh yeah, it sank in my boat, or, you know, my cousin Vinny has it, you know, something like that, then, you know, good luck.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think there's a list. It doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter whether you register or not.
Well, they do. They absolutely have a list of people that tried to register and their registration didn't make the deadline.
Oh, okay.
So they absolutely have that list. And those people, they're not, you know, they're not doing I guess we'll let these in. They're saying, nope, got to get rid of it, turn it into the police, or, you know. Now,
and of course, there's also, you know, my big fear, which is the fact that, you know, I live in Massachusetts and I am one of those lawful gun owners. And my overall ideal is to, you know, make sure that I do not give them any rope to hang me by. So I have several non-PC rifles and several non-PC handguns that are indeed listed in the Massachusetts registry that says, yes, this dude has them.
Yeah, but it's a little different in Massachusetts because you can't get that without your firearm owner ID card.
That's correct.
So you're kind of screwed from the beginning. I mean, you don't have a choice. These, at least theoretically in Connecticut, if you didn't register and if the cops don't, you know, show up and go, oh, let us look at your gun collection. And you know, as long as nothing calls their attention to you having it, then they probably won't know.
Yeah.
Now, at this
point in time, Massachusetts has full registration. And at this point in time, all of my firearms are legal.
Right.
And but again, my big fear is that all it takes is one stroke of the pen for it to suddenly be like New York, California, New Jersey, various places where the gun was 100% legal and you were 100% above the boards and you were following all the rules. And now they're going to say, you know what? We're just decided today that, you know, yesterday you weren't a criminal, but today you are a criminal. Turn it in now.
Yep.
Give up your property. We will, you know, maybe we will not graciously compensate you graciously compensate you, meaning, we'll give you $200
you get a
$50 you spent $1,000 for.
You get a $50 gift card to Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Ugh.
Hey, you want to take some calls?
Yeah. Yes. Wow, already?
Oh, yeah. We had calls before we played the music. This is MDev.
Good evening, squirrels.
Hi, MDev.
What's up, MDev?
So I'm not really qualified for any topic, but if I were, this might be a topic that I would know something about, because I was born in Connecticut, unfortunately.
But you got out as soon as you could.
Well, pretty much. My parents forcibly removed me at age 5, so, you know, whatever. But for whatever, you know, all of my family, minus my parents and my brother, pretty much still lives in Connecticut. I've got a few people that have drifted, you know, in that area. And I can honestly say that this has been a – this has actually been a divisive issue for my family. So starting with, you know, the day after the Newtown shooting, my aunt works in that – she lives in Newtown, works in the Newtown School District, not at the specific school that, you know – had the shooting, but she actually works at the middle school that elementary school feeds. Anyway, long story short, I called her, you know, the day after the shooting and just basically said, hey, I'm thinking about you. You know, I didn't introduce any politics into it. I just said, hey, thinking about you. You know, I'm sure you know some of the families or whatever. And her answer was, well, don't remember... Don't forget that you and your thuggish friends are the ones that are responsible.
What?
Thuggish friends? Because,
don't run off
the
road.
Because obviously, because I own a firearm, I'm a thug. Didn't you know that?
Well, of course you are. Actually, that has nothing to do with your firearms. You're just a thug.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So anyway, you know, and it was. The day after that, it wasn't the time to argue, but later we had some, I'll say, more reasonable conversations. So I put some thought into this. I followed the politics of it. And, you know, the person that I feel worst for is my father has a brother that I know for a fact has guns. He may not know he has guns because they were part of an inheritance. And, I mean, they probably haven't left his closet or safe or whatever in 10 years. But I fear that, you know, gosh, one of those gets the wrong – it's got the wrong accessory or it's got the wrong, you know, feature. And all of a sudden, he's a felon. You know what I mean? So I would have to say that if I lived – there, because the Northeast is made up of states that, you know, take about 10 minutes to get across the entire state, I'd move. I'd pack up and move. And it's in an area of the country where you could probably keep your same employer. You know what I mean? Because you're probably only going to go an hour away. But I also know that every time people move out of that state, they spread spread the cancer. It's like people that move out of California, they move up here to Seattle, and they try and recreate California the best they can.
Great. They do that
happens.
In Texas too. They all the Californians move to Austin and turn it into a shithole. So, you know, whatever.
Exactly. So I know that moving isn't the end all be all. You know, solution. It's a temporary solution, essentially. But I just, you know, with my own opinions on if somebody came door to door, how I'd react. Well, I'll keep those private and not publish them on the internet. But at this point, where it's just, you know, legislation, and now they're backing off, saying, maybe we're not going to go door to door. And don't get me wrong, it's not because they don't want to, it's because they don't think they can get away with it, you know.
Right.
But I have to say, and this sounds really dumb, but the people that are in the gun culture, I feel are much better equipped to handle these things because they're involved. The person that I really do feel bad for is the widow whose husband had a bunch of guns, they're still sitting in a closet, and all of a sudden she's a felon because, you know, something wasn't transferred right, or she didn't know that, oh my gosh, that thing that he called his elk rifle all of a sudden has the wrong accessory, and now it is, you know, and now it is one of these prohibited, or it's got to be registered or something, you know. That's honestly what I fear, and the question is how many grandmothers have to go to jail before before
all of
something
them.
Happens. I got to share a quick story. My father's cousin, I guess would be, was a Connecticut state trooper, you know, a bajillion years ago. And they had a thing where Connecticut state troopers had to purchase their own firearms, and they could also become troopers at age 19. So there was a lot of troopers that had to have their mothers go out and buy them a handgun because they couldn't buy a handgun across the counter until they were 21, and then, you know, essentially straw sale it to them. And I think that's hilarious in light of recent politics. You know, I mean, these are Connecticut state law enforcement, yeah. And the solution was, well, yeah, you got to acquire a handgun somehow.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that policy has been long since fixed, but I do think it's hilarious.
Yep.
I mean, because that is by definition a straw sale, any way you cut it.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think you fail the are you the actual purchaser, you know. You could argue a gift or something like that, but if there was any, if I reimburse you for it, it's a straw sale.
Yeah, current BATF interpretation is that way. I mean, you know, whether that was legal or not kind of depends on when they were doing it. You know, if it was
that is true. This was probably late 80s.
Oh, so. Well, who knows?
I don't know. It's still interesting to ponder, though. You know?
It is.
All right. Well, I will open up the line. That's all I've got for it.
Okay.
But, you know, I've been following this issue because all my family's back there, and 9/10 of my family back there, they're not gun owners, and the ones that are probably have the 130-06, and, you know, that qualifies them.
Hey, that's a high-powered sniper rifle, damn it.
And that's exactly what they'll call it when they're confiscating it.
Yep. Thanks for calling, MDF.
They won't. Have a good one.
All right. Well, that may be this as close as we get to an expert opinion on this. Is everybody else there, or am I talking by myself?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
We're just listening.
I was also typing in chat about other interesting issues that are somewhat tangential to this.
Okay, we have another caller. Let's take this real quick. See who.
Yeah, let's talk to callers.
Area code 916. And hello, 916, somewhere in California, I think.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, California.
Who is this? Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, this is Alice from California, first time caller.
Oh, great.
Hey, we love first time callers. Thank you.
No problem. Love listening to you guys. I found you guys, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. Been listening.
Great.
First time I've been able to actually call in. So, anyway, I didn't really plan on talking. I just kind of called in to listen. Wait, download it later.
Ah, uh-huh. Well, since
I'm
you
over
did
here in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, since you did call in, and you know, California is a very gun unfriendly state, and actually they've kind of done the same. They've done something similar in California where they sent everybody, you know, the letter and said, you know, turn your gun in or get rid of it. What would you do if you want to say?
Well, to a point. I mean, you know, we've been able to make most of our stuff legal, and we were able to defeat the damn the high capacity magazine ban that they were trying to come in and confiscate with us. You know, CalGuns is a fantastic source for us over here.
Oh yeah, CalGuns is great.
Yep. So, you know, I want people, you know, that are listening in California, go out there and check it out and, you know, get involved and call your state senators and your state representatives. And, you know, I'm lucky I'm in the Sacramento area, so my representatives are actually on my side.
Oh.
Well, I end up fighting the people down there in San Francisco and L.A. and
Yeah, the
berserkly.
Yeah, the people that have are determined to ride the state into a flaming ruin.
Exactly. Anyway, I'll let you guys go.
Hey, well, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, one quick question before I have you hung up?
No, he's still there.
Awesome. Yeah, how did you find us?
You know, I think you were mentioned on another podcast, and I have probably 20 different 2A-related podcasts on my phone at any one time, so yeah, I couldn't tell you which one I came across, or it might have just been doing a search, and I use Dogcatcher as my podcaster because I'm done with the Apple iPhone evil empire people.
Well, cool. Well, thank you. Thanks again, and we're glad you're listening out there in the West.
California.
Yeah,
California. Stan.
Yeah. All right. Have a good evening.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
All right.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Somebody new. I love that.
That may be our first caller from California. I don't.
No. We've had.
Have we?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were banned in California. I don't know.
No. Speaking of, you know, I don't really want to get off the Connecticut topic quite yet.
Don't worry, it's the call-in. It'll
keep popping up. But speaking of getting banned.
Yes.
As a segue, the Facebook issue this week. Apparently Facebook tried initially to ban gun content on Facebook. And they're within, you know, their rights to do that. It's a private company and it's their website. And we are basically, you know, they can say what goes on their website. But I think they came to a compromise because of the NRA.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on exactly what happened.
Yeah, I don't know either. It kind of almost seems like it was a thing that didn't happen. You know, they talked about it and everybody made a big deal about it. And then everybody's like, whatever. We're not going to do it.
I got to say, I haven't blogged about this yet because I just haven't gotten a chance because I was playing too much NetHack. Let's just be square about it. But I ascended. So now I can get back to regular blogging. But I've got to say I was deeply amused by this. I mean, it was one of those Les actually sent me the first I heard about it first through Les, and when I read it, I went, "Oh shit! They really did cut down on it." But that was just the idiot reporter not knowing what the fuck they were talking about. Instead, actually, this was a huge victory for gun people, and it's on two fronts. One is Facebook pretty much just came forward and just said, you know, we're going to let you sell guns so long as you sell guns in a legal fashion, which is just how things are in general anyway. It's one of those, like, you know, no place is allowed to sell guns illegally, you could do what you want, but, you know, if I suddenly start, you know, putting up illegal guns on my website and say, oh yeah, no background checks, felons can chime in. I don't give a shit. I'm fucked.
That's the thing. I mean, I've been on Facebook a long time. And this whole, you can buy guns on Facebook? What? It was news to me. Maybe there are, like, you know, secret back pages where people are selling each other illegal guns or something. But it completely news to me.
And the short answer is no, you can't sell guns on Facebook.
No.
Just like I've bought and sold a few guns on the Northeast Shooters Forum, I did not buy and sell guns on the Northeast Shooter forums. I met people that were looking to sell guns, and people met me that were looking to buy guns that I had.
Right.
And, you know, it was really just I met people through the forum.
Facebook.
Okay. That's all this is the, hey, I have this gun. Oh, cool. Yeah. I have this money. Sweet. That sounds like we can make
but,
a trade.
You know, to
it's
a
gun show to loophole.
To a gun anti-gun person, that's an illegal sale. as far as they're concerned, that's a loophole sale. And you sold it on if that had happened on Facebook, they'd have said you sold that on Facebook.
Yep.
Well, you know, Facebook is like a it's like a private company.
Yes.
And so if you're using their private company to sell your, you know what I mean? It's kind of hinky that way. They can say, no, you can't do that.
They can do whatever they want. I mean, that's why, right. That's why I am, that's one of the many reasons why I'm not on Facebook is I left LiveJournal to get my own website under constant threats of, oh, now the Russians own LiveJournal and they're going to start squashing political content.
Right.
And all of that. And there's nothing. And I went, oh shit. You know, and of course I was listening to a lot of, squishy lefties complaining about it. And then I looked into it and went, well, wait a second. No, it's their website. They can say and do whatever the hell they want because it's their website. So instead I got my own website. And so now I can say and do whatever I want on my website because fuck you, it's mine. And and all of that. And that's why I do not book a face.
Right.
The bigger issue is essentially Facebook openly okayed the buying and selling of guns. And that's one victory. One victory is saying that, if you want to list your gun on Facebook, so long as pretty much the only thing that they did that was their right and not any sort of like, we just don't want to get sued or become party to illegal activity is said, hey, cause let's face it, people buy and sell weed on Facebook. I'm sure there's been a bunch of people that have met their drug dealer on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, that's not a legal transaction, and Facebook can and I'm sure they had to do it in such a way that they weren't openly, they're not going to be openly listing of the, anyone want to buy weed, come to my place, because the cops are going to want to buy weed and they're going to go to jail, sort of idea. But the big thing is Facebook pretty much just said, yeah, no, we condone legal activities. The only weird, the only thing that they did that's kind of sort of not quite, just following the letter of the law is essentially now the buzzword, no black background checks apply, which is, absolutely true.
Right.
If you're, in Maine and you put your shotgun up on Uncle Henry's, which is a little, little circular that's been coming around since the, 1800s, it's no background checks apply because you fucking can't.
Right.
Just if you want to sell your shotgun, unless you want to specifically say, yeah, let's meet at a dealer and do the trade there and give the gun to the dealer. The dealer then gives the gun to the recipient and you pay them for their time. There's no way you can do it because we don't have access to that. And that's been presented. And the antis said, no, we don't want to do that because let's face it, this is not what they're talking about.
Right.
They may claim that's what they're talking about, but it's never been what they're talking about. But but if you put down, no background check supply, no background check needed, I can't run a background check, whatever buzzword they have a filter for, they will squish that. And so just don't say that. Even though that's exactly what's going to happen, just don't say that. And that's the only thing Facebook, administratively made a decision on. Other than that, they pretty much just said, don't do anything illegal, and you might get a notice if you're selling a gun that just said, just by the way, you should follow the law. And now we can wash our hands with this because we're not going to be part of any illegal sales. And if you do that, we can always say, well, we told them, which is fine. I 100% support that. That's perfectly fine. And if they want to put that little goofy filter on that, flags this as potentially an illegal sale, whatever.
Right.
But the big victory, I think, for this is that Moms Demand Action, which spearheaded this, which is, of course, also a subsidiary of Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns, are now taking a victory lap saying, Facebook, listen to us! Hooray! And meanwhile, on the other side of the fence, the Brady campaign points out that that's a lot, that this is a loss for them, which is actually the correct thing. It's the one few things that Brady has said that is correct. No, they lost on this issue because now Facebook is openly saying yes, part of Facebook is, you know, meeting people, talking about what you had for breakfast, you know, starting political groups and all of that stuff. But it's also, if you want to list a firearm you want to sell legally, go right ahead. This is within the law, and we allow you to do that. Versus before, they had never said anything about it in the past.
Sure.
And all of that. So now we've got infighting between essentially what are the two biggest anti-gun groups. And when you deal with an established issue, infighting is absolutely the worst enemy.
Excellent.
And on the other side of it, I am super duper glad right now that there's not a whole lot of infighting between NRA and GOA and the Second Amendment Foundation and Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership and whatever other, you know, groups there are, and all of that. You know, infighting is good if you're not an established thing, you know, just like the people that are now fighting and doing a good job at trying to reform the NFA. There was a whole lot of infighting of what should we go for and what shouldn't we go for, and are suppressors legitimate, you know, legitimate hunting devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But once you get to be established where you're, you know, a gun ban organization, and there's been a whole bunch of, you know, litigation, you know, lawsuits and laws and stuff like that done, infighting is the enemy, and that's exactly what's going to start happening. Yay!
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's take another call.
Oh,
yay!
Okay.
It's Dennis.
Yay!
Hey, hello, folks.
Hi, Dennis.
How is everybody?
Long time no Dennis.
Well, I've been a little bit busy.
Yes. How are you feeling? More importantly, are you feeling better?
Feeling much better.
Good.
Much, much better. My chest doesn't hurt anymore when I lay down or get up, and I can actually start doing a little bit of weight training because it doesn't hurt so much.
Sweet.
But otherwise, yeah, I'm feeling very, very healthy, and I'm just lucky that they found it, and, you know, I didn't croak.
Yeah, we're glad too.
You know, I'm just glad I didn't kick the bucket.
Yeah.
We're glad you didn't kick the bucket either.
I was looking at what's on tonight, and I just got home a little while ago, so I only tuned in like halfway through the show. I don't know what you talked about for the first half hour. You know, the one question that I see on the website, what would you do if you lived in Connecticut? Did you already touch on that?
Well, yeah. that's our call-in.
That's a call-in.
So
yeah.
You called in.
Oh, okay. What would I do if I lived in Connecticut? Boy, howdy. A lot of 6-inch pipe with 6-inch plastic pipe with a lot of, the PVC glue burying things in the pipe, number one. And just, I'm sorry, officer, I don't have that. Who'd you sell it to? I don't know. It was at a gun show, sold it to somebody. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, and that's coming from me. I would be doing what the majority of those folks up there are doing, which is just, no, I'm not going to register the damn thing. You know, the sad part is the people who got caught sending it in late, what I'm thinking happened to them was they were part of the crowd, and you always have them. You have the diehards who say, the threepers, you know, or diehards, who, I'm never going to register, and they don't. And then you got the other ones who, I'm going to register because that's the law, and I want to be law-abiding, upstanding, yada, 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 yada. And then there's a small group in the middle. It's, you know, like where those two circles intersect. There's a small group that, no, I'm not going to register, but when it comes down to it and it's getting close to the end, they get a little bit scared. They hear politicians starting to ratchet up the rhetoric, and they go, you know what, I better just register it and get it done and over with, you know. And they're the ones who sent it in a little bit on the late side to go through the postal system with enough time. And then the postal system was so swamped they couldn't deliver everything. And so now their stuff is late. I'm not sure that, I mean, I haven't heard anybody make the argument of, but wait a minute, it was postmarked on time. You know, if you send in your taxes, it's not that your taxes are late, if they get to the IRS on April 20th, as long as you got proof it was postmarked on April 15th, you're good. Okay?
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that those, you know, a good smart lawyer could, you know, argue that point, which would help mitigate something of what these people are up against. But the thing is that, you know, they tried to comply, and now the state is punishing them by saying, we know where you are, you were late, now we're going to come after you.
Right.
Because they know where you are, you know. And you know, it's the state going after the low-hanging fruit, and they're going to punish people who said, okay, I'll comply. And, you know, that's what really bothers me. And, you know, I was reading, I think it was on a comment that Oleg made somewhere, that, you know, if the state goes ahead and tries to, you know, do the whole no knock, 3 a.m, we're coming after your gun type thing in Connecticut, they do it once, they'll get away with it. They do it twice, that's pushing it. The third time, it's going to be brutal. You know, and I'm afraid for some of the tension that is up there in Connecticut, because
right.
God forbid, you know, you get these young cops who are all chomping up at the bit. They want to go SWAT. They're going to do a no knock. They're going to, you know, batter down a door. Next thing you know, one of them isn't practicing, you know, safe carry. He's got his finger on the trigger. The safety's off. The damn AR has been charged, and he pulls a couple of rounds, and they go through a wall.
Right.
You know, they hit a kid somewhere. You know, next thing you know, dad gets out of bed, hears gunshots, goes running out with a revolver. He gets nailed, you know. I mean, there's so many ways it can go bad really, really fast. And sadly, I don't think that, you know, and this is just, you know, a statement of what I really think of government anymore, that would just get swept under the rug. Somebody's going to say the officers acted in their
They were following procedure.
Yep.
They were following procedure. They felt that their lives were being threatened, and they shot the threat. They took care of the threat as they saw it. But wait a minute. You broke into somebody's house. What
right.
about that guy feeling threatened? Well, that
right.
doesn't matter. You know, because
no.
he's just a peon. You know, and I'm afraid for that, because if that happens there and it starts spreading, this country really went belly up.
Well, you know, it is, I'm not in Connecticut, and neither are many of the rabble-rousers on this issue.
Rabble-rousers like Mike Vanderbilt. Yeah,
like okay, Mike Vanderbilt. Yeah. I don't know how many people in Connecticut read his blog, but I'm sure there are some. And I'm sure there are some people active in the gun community and the gun Second Amendment, you know, rights community in Connecticut who do read his blog. Because, you know,
sure.
that's how those circles run, right? It seems to me, just kind of viewing it as kind of like outside, it looks like a pissing contest to me now. It
sure.
looks like this kind of machismo pissing contest. No, Connecticut is saying, rah, 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 turn in your guns, rah, rah, rah. And the other side is saying, no, come take them, rah, rah, rah. And so it's like it will end badly. And it ought not to. And the reason why is because Connecticut is on the wrong side of history.
That's true.
Oh, sure. I agree. They are definitely on the wrong side of history here.
The entire country now is trending pro-gun and pro-Second Amendment.
Yep.
Connecticut is on the wrong side of history. And I think that somebody needs to explain that to them. That
oh.
you will go down in the history books as being the dumbasses who tried to do this to their own citizens.
I don't think they care.
No, I know they don't care. And it's because of, you know, that Lieutenant Vance guy
yes.
who, that chucklehead on the internet saying, I'm the master.
Yeah.
Really? Your head should be on a pike by now for saying that.
But it's Connecticut. It's the Northeast. It is, that corner of the country is so frickin' blue.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, us here in flyover country, you know, I'm talking, you know, the Ohio Valley, the Tennessee Valley, this is flyover country.
Right.
You know? Us here, we look at them and go, how can you live like that?
Right.
But you got to remember, because I came from the Northeast, and poor Weird, he's still up in the Northeast.
Sure am.
Poor Weird.
They've been browbeaten into submission up there. You know, I mean, I talk to New Yorkers, because I still have friends up there. I talk to New Yorkers, and I'm like, well, why aren't you up in arms about the SAFE Act and what they're doing? These guys are sending their now illegal guns down to my gun store in Tennessee going, put it on consignment and see if you can sell it. All right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why are you putting up with this? Well, you know, it's they passed the law, and it's just the way it is, and we have to comply. But no, they're rolling over playing dead.
That's so strange.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing. I remember it was at the Houston NRA convention. We were driving to the show, and Gay Sinek was there, and we were talking about the Boston mayoral election, and he said, "Why is it that you can't get a libertarian candidate in for the mayor of Boston? Have someone that talks about, you know, women's rights and, you know, pro-abortion and legalizing pot and all of that stuff, but also smaller government." And what he didn't realize is the people in Boston want to live in a goddamn cage. They want daddy state. They want someone to tell them what to do. And I mean, these states got that way for a reason. It didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, the people that are doing this are representing the people that elected them. And,
oh, sure.
And there's whole swaths of the country that believe that. And then on top of that, you've got, you know, there's so many states that have these goofy little laws that just got passed sometime, back, 50-100 years ago. And, you know, liquor sales are probably one of the best examples. Every state sells booze a little bit differently. You know, some states you can drive into, you know, drive into a convenience store and go through. Does Ohio have drive through liquor stores, Brita?
Texas does.
It wouldn't surprise me. But
yeah. I remember, I think it was someone talking about they took a trip to Ohio and we're talking.
We have drive through like beverage stores. I don't know if they sell liquor because yeah. all of our liquor is like they're all state stores.
Yep.
So.
But I remember people talking about drive-through liquor stores and going, whoa, what the fuck is that? Because I never heard of such a thing. But, you know, I know it's, you know, it's not just one or two states. There's a bunch of states that have these things. And it's no big deal there. But if you suddenly someone said, hey, we should have a drive-through liquor store in Maine or a live drive, you know, or in New Hampshire, you know, it would be, oh my God, what about drunk driving and all of that stuff? Because everyone thinks that their state laws are everywhere. I mean, it's just, you hear it on the news. You hear about people talk, you know, people will talk about, oh, so-and-so in this other state had an unregistered handgun. Well, except for that other state they're talking about, there's no way you can register a handgun. They don't have a registry. They don't do that. But you're talking about it from California or from Massachusetts or from New York where there is a registry and, you know, registration is just the norm and they just assume every place else in the world is like them. And if they repealed this law, that's really a rarity. Suddenly you're starting a great social experiment, except you're not. It's already done. It's a bullshit law.
Yep.
It's been done a million times over and it's not a mistake. You're the only person that's holding on to that. It's just like, you know, Massachusetts's one thing is we're the only state in the union where we have to have, and it's been changed a little bit, but still overall, if there's a construction site on a road, there needs to be a police officer to direct traffic through that construction site. It's the only state in the union that requires that. And people were, every time it comes up to be repealed, people say, well, if they don't see the badge and the patent leather boots, people will just drive right through. They're not going to respect just a flagman in an orange vest. Except for everywhere else, it's a goddamn flagman in an orange vest. This is not a great social experiment. This is everywhere else. It's 100% fine. There's no problems.
It's like New Jersey where it's illegal to pump your own gas.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't. Yep. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, illegal. It's illegal because New Jersey is sitting there going, well, you know what? The insurance costs for the gas station owners are going to go up if we let untrained people pump gas.
Untrained. You
know, seriously, when you listen to them argue it, it's the common person is not trained on the proper use of gas pumping equipment. And it's like, are you kidding? You lift the nozzle, you put it into the car, you push the button, pull the handle, and the gas comes out.
And on top of that,
that's a high-tech piece of machinery there, you know.
Yeah, someone who's driven through Jersey on many occasions, you got to see the person that's the quote-unquote trained professional that's pumping it out. This is someone who flunked out of Wendy's.
Well, this New Jersey is creating jobs, you know, by doing that.
No, they're not.
By requiring gas pumpers.
It is the exact same amount of staffing. You just have to wait forever to get your fucking tank filled.
They don't have an extra guy just to pump the gas.
Oh no! I mean, it's exactly the same as any other place. There's one dude there, and he's manning six pumps, and you have to just fucking sit there and wait. And on top of that, he's running the exact same pumps that I pump my own gas in Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, etc. Everywhere else. So I hand them my credit card, and he swipes the credit card through the exact same credit card thing and then runs the exact same pump.
Yep.
The only difference
is, thankfully,
they are not like Massachusetts, which is one of the states that bans the little ratchet on the pump that lets you start the pump going, and you can take your hands off the ice-cold pump this time of year. And put your hands in your pocket while you watch your tank fill. And you have to sit there with your hand on the pump the entire time because, you know.
Don't you have something you can stick in there, like the gas cap or something?
Probably. Well, except my new vehicle doesn't have a gas cap.
Yeah, mine doesn't either.
Anyway, I'm going to get going. But before I go, I want to say one thing to Weird.
Yes.
All right. You and I talked about it a couple of years ago. When we were arguing AR versus FN foul,
yes,
back at the NRA show,
yes.
All right. Now that I finally got around to assembling my very first AR, okay, I tend to agree with you. the foul, definitely over the AR.
If
I can only find an inch pattern M bell with a really nice barrel, I'll be happy.
Well, imbells were only made in metric, but you want to get metric anyway. Metric's become the standardized thing because that's what DSA is making because they bought all imbells machinery. So you want a metric pattern.
All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say, yeah, after building my first AR, I'm not looking forward to building my second one, and it's going to be an FN foul. Anyway,
thanks.
Have a good night, folks.
Thanks, Dennis.
See ya.
Awesome. Dennis, whose gun show setup was recently used in a hit TV series. That's really cool. If you watched one of the recent NCISs, you would have seen the Dragon Leatherworks banner and a couple of, I guess, extras or whatever standing around in Dragon Leatherworks T-shirts.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yep, very cool. Yeah. I always like it when one of our own, you know.
Yeah.
I knew him when he was nothing, and he hasn't changed a bit.
Makes the big time.
We have another caller.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I know. It's like call-in show. Wow.
Good.
Area code 803. Hello.
That'd be me again. How are you guys doing today?
Oh.
Hi. I think it's Bradley, right?
Bradley.
Yeah, it's Bradley.
Hi.
What are you wearing, Bradley?
Actually, I'm wearing my kilt, but...
Oh my gosh. Oh. I've never seen a picture of you in your kilt.
Yeah, there's a good reason. I've got...
No, you need to rectify that. You need to fix
Bradley,
that.
Bradley, just so you know, upskirt shots are legal in Massachusetts. So you might as well just tell me what you're wearing under that kilt, because I'm going to find out.
Well... First, actually hear a foul's better than an AR, and I don't understand what sort of witchcraft and drugs were used to come to that decision. Then Weird wants an upskirt shot, so I'm just going to leave that alone.
Well, FALs are awesome.
Oh, I love my FAL. It just does horrible, horrible things to brass, and my AR-10 is as good as a rifle.
Oh, you got to get that thing tuned up. Mine not only does nothing to the brass, but also ships it into the next area code, thanks to Wally from York Arms.
That's part of the problem with brass, is I tend to use good brass, and when I can't find it, it pisses me off.
Well, mine does it. It puts it in a nice pile about, you know, 10 feet in front and to the right of the firing line.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they'll let me bring a rake so I can get the brass that goes on the other side of the firing line, because the indoor range won't let me do that. They yelled at me.
Yeah, none of them let you do that.
Oh, mine does.
Oh, wow.
You flip. There's a night. They even just recently installed a nice little yellow bubble light that you can flip on, so that the light is flashing when you're downrange.
Wow.
Yeah. Used to be we just walk up and down the range saying, can we go cold for just a little bit? Yeah, no problem. Everyone step back behind the firing line. We had procedures. My club's awesome.
I guess.
Very nice. The indoor range I go to doesn't go cold ever.
Yeah, most indoor ranges don't.
But they also have big long push brooms, and so many times I'm like, I'm not going to fucking bother this guy. I'm just going to stand here with a push broom and rake it in.
Yeah, a lot of those indoor ranges, they also have the you know, if your brass hits the floor, it's ours kind of policy.
Oh yeah, ours kind of sort of has that. They're one of those, if it's your brass. Yeah. It's they want you to do some shooting. They don't want they discourage what I actually used to do before they enacted the policy, which was
if I
happen to be in the area, I would stop at the club and go dig through the range buckets just to see if there's anything good.
Yeah,
you're definitely not allowed to do that here, and they don't like it when you bring your own brass. And they've even given me the stink eye for saving my brass from revolvers. Mm. It's like, whatever. It's like, I'm the only guy in the county with a 45 auto rim. Trust me, it's my brass.
So,
45 auto rim, nice.
Bradley.
I got shit from somebody at a range for taking the brass out of my revolver.
How are you supposed to get it out if you don't take it out?
Well, you know, you kind of push the little, what is that thing?
The plunger.
The plunger thingy, yeah. And it kind of pops it out a little bit, and then you pick them out and you put them back in the tray, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was doing that because I was shooting the revolver and Mike wanted to save the brass. So I was doing that. And then some guy came over thinking I was, and he needed to tell me I was doing it wrong. Oh, honey, you know, like I had never shot before.
Well, as long as you're not being dangerous with the muzzle, and I have seen people with revolvers get all sorts of dangerous with the muzzle trying to kick sprint brass out.
No, it was the. Here, little lady, let me show you what you're doing wrong.
And to be fair, when the cylinder's open, do whatever you need to do. I mean, when the cylinder's open, it's not a gun.
Okay, anyway. What would you do, Bradley, in Connecticut?
I'm really glad I don't live in Connecticut, and I'm really glad I don't live within driving distance of Connecticut. Because purely as a thought experiment, I would like to think I wouldn't register my weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have registered most of them in Hawaii. Everything I took with me, I registered.
Okay.
But
Hawaii's different, though. It's kind of hard to get. It's not like you can just drive to Hawaii.
Right. And everything's registered there.
Right.
And on top of that, you're dealing with what I'm dealing with, is that registration is complying with the law, and there's no legal peril imparted upon it. With Connecticut, the registration was created at the exact same time that said, we're going to ban these sons of bitches.
Right. And that's, you know, I was actually able to register, you know, what they considered assault pistols in Hawaii. And it's because I owned it before I moved there. They didn't care.
Assault pistol.
They're just like, you can't transfer it. Yeah.
What's that?
That sounds special.
It's a stupid Hawaii thing. I really don't understand the distinction, but when I was registering my AR pistol, they actually said, you know, these really aren't legal in this state. And I'm all, well, what do you want me to do with it? And I'm, you know, there at the police station. So, oh, we'll register it. It's not a problem. You just can't sell it to anyone. Okay, okay. Fine.
No problem.
Not going to.
Great.
But, yeah, you know, I would like to think I wouldn't hide from them either. And I'm scared that the cops are going to push it. And Lord knows we have enough people that will just follow orders right up until
yes.
a whole bunch of cops walk into a guy that's got an M1 Grand and a whole bunch of black tip. He's going to, they're going to find out. Bulletproof vests with trauma plates aren't at that range.
You know, I don't think it's going to come to it.
Yeah.
I think it'll get repealed or something will happen. I don't think it'll come to that.
I actually think so too. I think the whole new thing of the statements of come and take them.
Yeah.
I just don't think they've got the stones to do it. And that's, I hope that's where it ends.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of stones. I think a lot of politicians now are looking at reelection and they're thinking, what side of this am I on? And can we repeal this now? Because I might lose quite a lot of votes.
And I hope you're right. But I think enough of them, and whether they can get it repealed in time before they start stacking on doors and running in and doing house clearing, and you know they're going to, if this doesn't get repealed, you know, within like 6 months.
I can tell you exactly what they're going to do. They're not going to do anything. If it's one of those things where it's like, if you make it where I can't ignore it, then they'll do something. For instance, if you call the cops because somebody broke into your house and the cops come over and they go, oh, you know, what's in that gun safe? And you open it for them and, oh, look, there's a black rifle. Then it's kind of like you're making it where they can't ignore it. My suspicion is, and what I think will happen, is the state of Connecticut will pretty much ignore the people that haven't registered. They will wait until the inevitable lawsuit, and they will wait for the judge at whatever level of court to say it's illegal based on, you know, Heller, McDonald, you know, weapons in common use and all that kind of stuff. That way they get their cake and eat it too. They get to be the politicians that voted, you know, to end these evil black rifles. But hey, you know what? What can we do? The judge says it's unconstitutional. C'est la vie.
Hopefully.
I honestly think it's the best possible outcome.
Because you know, they're not going to, you know, once they've made this big thing about, oh, yeah, ban the things, ban the assault rifles, they're not going to come back and go, oh, yeah, let's not ban them. Because you got to remember, Connecticut is not a Republican state. It's not even a squishy Republican state. It's a Democrat state.
It's a Patrick Kennedy state.
That's right.
Well, I think so many Connecticut citizens of Connecticut are already like flagrantly violating the law because of this. I think that speaks volumes.
And it's exactly what happened in what's that big state north of the U.S. Canada. You know, they spent all their money on their registry. Nobody bothered to register. And the ones that did, it was totally screwed up. And it cost billions of dollars. And they finally were like, after how many years, they finally just said, ah, fuck it.
And Canada just reclassified one of their firearms. And now they're looking at confiscation without any revocation from a whole bunch of firearms owner because they changed a weapon.
Yeah, but there's no registry anymore. So they don't know who they are.
Yeah,
well, they still know who they are because they retain the data. That's been publicly stated. But still, at the same time, they're not supposed to have the data. So again, Alan, you're correct, though not necessarily 100% factually so. But yes,
you know, with 300,000 people being a soft number that I'm hearing in Connecticut that have willfully not complied.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. They're not going to round up and arrest 300,000 people. It's just not going to happen.
And I understand not all of them are like that video you see from that town meeting before this bill got passed where the guy goes, I'm a 28-year Navy vet, I'm a captain in the fire department, and kiss my ass, I'm not complying. Not all of them have announced that, but...
Well, sure, they don't have
to. You know, it only takes one to go,
you know, I'm waiting for you. The worst thing that could possibly happen right now is for the state to get its back up and you know, do a, yeah, we'll show, we'll teach them a lesson and, you know, go in for a, you know, a confiscation somewhere and then, you know, somebody starts shooting and then, you know, it'll be a PR disaster because then they'll say, look, see, we told you these people with these guns were horrible people and out to shoot cops and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know,
But on the same side, absolutely, it's a PR disaster. But at the same time, what happens to the cops on the next raid? I mean, I mentioned it when we had Marco on, and you know, the only reason why I mentioned it because now I've got a little baby sleeping upstairs, and I'm kind of not thinking the same way as I was before when it was just me. I am a true believer. I used mm-hmm. to, you know, I used to be anti-gun, and I realized that's fucking wrong. It's wrong, and so much that I'm devoting a ton of time and effort to trying to make sure that this shit gets stomped out. And my thought is that, you know what? If they decide to do, and you know, what I consider an unconstitutional raid on people's legally owned property and legally under the Constitution, not necessarily under the local law, which doesn't confine when federal law trumps it. What needs to happen is people getting shot and people thinking about their families as they're about to kick down a door. And that's not a pretty answer. That's not, you know, that's not good. That's not what I want. And that's exactly why, you know, we're dealing with all the soapbox and ballot box stuff instead of the cartridge box, because otherwise I'd be shooting right now. And I'm not. And I don't want to. And I don't plan to. But.
And I actually think that's the soft, hard answer, not the real bad nightmare scenario. I mean, unintended consequences is
fiction.
I think a beautiful. I know it's fiction.
It is. It's complete
fiction.
It's fiction.
Sparkly vampire fiction.
Yes, it is sparkly vampire fiction. I know countries though where police members have been shot on the way to and from the office.
Well, sure.
And politicians get shot routinely going to and from the office
It's called Mexico, and it's not for passing bad laws. They get shot for pissing off the cartel that actually runs the country. It has nothing whatsoever to do with people fighting for their rights. Anytime there's a country, a shithole country, where the politicians are getting shot, it's because they didn't kowtow the cartel the right way. Or they back the wrong cartel, or something like that.
So the police politician being shot in the Ukraine was because of a drug cartel?
In the Ukraine? Probably. Don't get me wrong. Ukraine is not, you know, this bright, shining center of democracy. The Ukraine is one of the, you know, organized crime capitals of Eastern Europe.
Where all the Russian mob money is.
Exactly. The guy Putin just ensconced as the head of Crimea is one of the worst gangsters over there. You know, these are not people standing up and fighting for, you know, constitution and all that's good and moral in the world. You know, these are, you know, the Ukraine is basically a gang war to figure out which organized crime gang is going to run the country.
That pretty much sums up Russia right there.
Well,
by the way, yeah. How cool is it that we're now talking about the Crimean War again?
Yeah, right.
Well, I used to joke. Go ahead, Bradley.
As someone that's got friends currently stationed and assigned to light brigades, please, nobody, nobody, nobody tell our president that we actually have light brigades, because that was in that part of the world. And
that was
let's
British.
Not have them run through the valley again, because that's a bad thing.
That was British. They were stupid.
You know, Gary Owen is a good example of stupid Americans, you know.
Sure.
Let's use helicopters and go to the middle of nowhere and see how long we can get our ass beat on.
Yep. Hey, thanks for calling, Bradley. We're out of time. We're actually over time. And we've...
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thanks, Bradley.
Bye. Before we go, though, we have to announce the next book for the Squirrel Report Book Club.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you have any music for that?
Actually, I might. Here we go. Oh, hang on.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Yes. Okay.
No.
Hang on.
We're holding.
That was not good.
Oh, how about this? And now, straight from the press, Dateline, Ohio. Squirrel Report announces the new book for the Squirrel Report Book Club.
Oh, okay.
Ellen, do you know how to do the Charleston?
No.
Have you done the Charleston at a school dance?
I don't know.
Was Charles Foster Kane as bad a guy as they say?
Yes. So anyway, we have a book.
Book number two for the Squirrel Report.
I'm putting a link in the
book club.
Do you think we'll get the author on?
Don't Vote, It Just Encourages the Bastards by P.J. O'Rourke. It's available on Amazon, obviously. Paperback is like $6.
Yep.
I plan on getting my copy from the library for free. I think everyone should probably look into that option. Because
is there a Kindle one? I haven't looked into it.
There is a
Kindle
version.
Kindle's $10. Paperback is $6.
Or if you're resourceful enough, you can find a ebook version for free on the internet somewhere.
Uh huh.
That's all I'm saying.
We don't promote that sort of thing.
Email it to me, Alan.
We don't promote or condone.
Right.
Digital.
Or you can get it from your library. You know.
Actually, you know what? You may be able to get it from the library as an ebook version for free.
Yeah, you might.
Check
so
it out.
Anyway. I chose this book because if P.J. O'Rourke was instrumental to my epiphany, political epiphany. After we got married, we had no TV and we had no internet and we just had books. And so I kind of systematically worked through all the books in the entire apartment. And at a certain point, I was still kind of like, you know, liberal at this point. I wouldn't say liberal. I just was kind of one of those people who wasn't informed, didn't care, you know, squishy kind of whatever. And at a certain point, Mike said, hey, read this guy. He's really funny. And he gave me a book by P.J. O'Rourke. And at that point, the game was up for me. It kind of was like my epiphany. And I started reading all of P.J. O'Rourke's. And so I chose this, it's not a novel, this book, because this is one of the more recent P.J. O'Rourke books that I haven't read yet. So it's kind of a selfish choice to force me to read it. And also, I like the title. So.
Yep. Published 2011.
Yeah.
So, and probably completely accurate still.
I'm sure. I almost chose Parliament of Horrors, but just because it's fantastic.
Yes.
But I kind of guess that probably everybody has read that by now.
Could be.
Maybe.
Except me.
Except you. You should go back and read it. Oh, it's great. Weird. It's fantastic. Anyway.
Yep.
I actually haven't read anything by P.J. O'Rourke except his columns.
Oh, wow.
What?
Well, you're in for a treat.
Oh, my gosh.
Get to it.
I'm going to, because now it's been assigned as homework, and I'm just going to get my knuckles wrapped with a damn ruler if I don't.
So I don't think that we're going to be able to get P.J. O'Rourke on.
No.
I think we should try to, though.
But
I think we should contact him on the Book of Faces.
You know what? I'm going to send him an email.
Let's have our people contact his people. Oh, wait, we don't have people.
Why not? Yeah.
Frida's our people.
Frida, be sure to tell him that we are an internationally broadcast podcast.
That's where
we're big in China.
We're huge in China.
Yep.
I will tell him. And, yeah, so stay tuned and read your book. And I don't know when we're going to talk about it, but probably like next month.
The first of the month. It's only the sixth, so
I'm gonna have to get off my ass because I'm also gonna have to set down my really good James Bond book.
Well, if you can't finish James Bond and start and read P.J. O'Rourke by the end of next month, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you do when the weird is asleep?
I was playing NetHack.
Oh,
get off the computer! Stop playing NetHack.
Well, I ascended. I'm all done with that game. I'm not gonna play for a little while longer. Even though I just start a tourist, and I'm kind of curious to see what tourists are like, because I've played a lot of rogues, and see what tourists are all about.
I think everybody will enjoy P.J. O'Rourke because not only is it like topical politically, but he's funny as hell. Yeah. So enjoy and have a good laugh.
Girl.
And yeah.
Two Flower, the tourist.
All right, everybody. That's it.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
What if I want to keep going?
You're on your own.
I need to start my own podcast.
Sit on your arm until your hand goes numb and then continue by yourself.
I've never tried.
Oh, my God. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Oh, I love you, Internet.
Bye.